Julie and Dwayne for since 2013, 2014. For a while now, they went to Grantham Bic as we went to Grantham Bic, and they have just been wonderful friends, and they have been doing wonderful things for God's kingdom, and they are here to share that with us today. So I'd like to invite them up. Thank you so much for coming, and yeah, I'm encouraged already that you're here.
I might share mine, maybe.
There's one here, you'll just need to turn it on.
All right.
If you need
it. We can share. Good morning, brothers and sisters. We are so grateful to be here this morning with you. It's been about a year since we have been here. The last time we were here, 180 Ministries was at the very beginning of what we were doing. And so we're so excited to share with you all of the amazing things that he has done in and through the ministry, in and through the body of Christ. And so a little bit of our background, just in case you are unaware of our personal story. I grew up in a church. From the outside, it looked like we had the perfect church family. The white picket fence and all the things. At the age of 13, my world fell apart. My mom decided to leave us. And let me stop there because I have to share, and please know that everything that I share comes from a place of forgiveness and healing. There is no resentment. There is no, so when I speak of my mother, I speak of her with love and I speak of her with honor. As God has called me to. And so the theme of what I want to share is that God does use all the junk. He will not waste any of your pain. He will not waste any of your sorrow or your struggle. And those same things that were so deeply wounding to me as a child are the same things that he's using today to be able to meet other people where they are in their hurt and their pain. And so when my mom left at the age of 13, I also had a little brother. And my brother was probably about 3 or 4 years old. And so my dad felt like he needed his attention. And so I was kind of left. I felt very alone and just kind of trying to figure things out on my own. My mom became a drug addict and an alcoholic. So she was in and out of my life. She is in recovery at this time, as far as I know, but there hasn't been any real relationship building there at this time, but there's still time. So I made a lot of really poor decisions trying to, and you weren't one of them. I made a lot of poor decisions growing up, which led to a lot of shame. It led to a lot of, I grew up in a very, what I would consider a legalistic church. And so as I was making these poor choices, the shame crippled me. I didn't feel that there was anyone within the church that I attended at that time that would really understand where I was coming from. And so I felt very alone. At the age of 27, I woke up. I had served in the military. I was in the Marine Corps for 4 years, continued to make poor choices throughout that stage of my life. At 27 years old, I woke up and I thought, I don't even know who I am. I've done everything that everybody has told me to do. I've done all the things. I've made a mess of things, and I still don't know who I am. And so I got divorced. I had 3 children at the time, which separated me further from the church that I had belonged to. And I want you to picture this. I'm trying to figure this out, right? And I have the church who I felt at that time, and again, all from a place of forgiveness, but I felt very condemned because of the choice of the divorce. And so I heard all the things. It's a sin, and you're doing this, and you're going to go to hell, and you're going to, you know, because of the divorce, and it's another poor choice and all this stuff. But then I had the world on this side saying, Julia, come to us. We'll love you just as you are. You don't have to change anything about yourself. They made me feel comfortable in the spaces that they were living in. I felt accepted, right? All alive from the enemy, because that was the worst place I could have gone. But that's where I went. And so for the next year, 2 years, 3 years, I spent every weekend in the bar drinking, partying. It affected me personally. That's actually where I met Dwayne at the time. We ended up together for 7 years. We lived unmarried for 7 years. We had our first daughter. Dwayne was a severe drug addict. Unto my knowing, I knew there was a little, but I had no idea the extent that it was. And our lives were a complete mess. We were running from landlord to landlord because we couldn't keep a home. Our lights were getting shut off. We were constantly fighting. Our children were suffering. And one day, I remember waking up and I came out to the living room and we had a pretty awful fight and he left. And I remember bawling up in the middle of my living room floor, and I began to cry out the name of Jesus. It's all I had. I couldn't even muster any other word. I just called out the name of Jesus, and I said, Jesus, Jesus, if anything that I've heard about you is true, I need you to come. I need you now, because I have nothing else. And friends, I'm telling you, he did. I remember falling asleep that night, and I woke up the next morning, and everything was still the same, right? All the circumstances. But something in my heart had changed. For the first time in 38 years of my life, I felt the real hope of Jesus Christ. I knew something was different. And so I began to pray. I prayed daily. And I began to pray that if Dwayne wasn't the man for me, that God would take him out. Now, I don't mean kill him. I don't mean, like, take him out. I meant, like, let him go. I was ready to surrender that relationship. I was ready to surrender anything. We had been unmarried, living together for 7 years, and 3 months of that prayer, Dwayne asked me to marry him. And I knew that that was God speaking through, you know, through the prayers. And so a year later, we were married. I was back in church. I had prayed for a church. I didn't even want a church shop at that point because I was so afraid of the people. If I'm honest, I didn't want to go in and out of church and feel rejection or feel like this was, I didn't want any of that. And I remember specifically saying to Jesus, I want you, but I'm not ready for any of your people. And that's as honest as I can be. And so I remember walking into Grantham Church and sitting in the back pew week after week after week, just praying nobody would see me. But there were three women who were seniors in the church, who were prayer warriors, that noticed that I was coming in, my children were coming, and I was scooting out, and they began to pray for me before I even knew it. And slowly they began to approach me, they began to hear my story, and we began to build a relationship. I attended church for 2 years without my husband. He was still in active addiction. Our life was still a mess. As these women were praying, things got worse. Like, what is happening? But if you understand spiritual warfare, if you understand what happens when there's movement in the spirit realm, it can seem like things are chaotic down here. And these women kept saying to me, just trust us, trust God, trust the process, keep pressing in. And I knew I wanted Jesus more than anything else, and so I did. And that went on for 2 years. There were mornings I'd get up to go to church and Dwayne would take the vehicle so I would have to walk. But I did. Because I remember the day that I cried out to Jesus. I remember the hope. And it has never extinguished. And it got me up every morning. I fought. And sometimes I ask myself, church, when we get tired, because we do, and we get lazy, we get complacent, when is the last time we had to fight to get to the house of God? Truly fight. If you woke up this morning and your vehicle wasn't working, would you be here? Would you have made a call and said, hey, I need a ride? It was the best decision I ever made in my life because it changed everything. Everything. For my marriage, for my children. 2 years of fighting to be in church. I mean, this man would scream in my face. And he would tell me, I don't care. You can tell me till I'm blue in the face. I don't believe in your God. And so I'm trying to build this relationship with Jesus and hold on to our marriage at the same time. And I thank God every day for the women at that church that prayed with me, that prayed for me, that held me, that taught me that Jesus is the best friend, the best husband. And what I was doing was expecting things from him that he could not give to me. And I wasn't ready to receive them. And so Jesus met me in those places and he healed my broken heart. The broken heart of the 13-year-old girl who felt abandoned, unloved, and unworthy. And my husband went away for a weekend and he was in Pottsville, Pennsylvania. It's where he grew up. And he was gone on a drug binge for the weekend. And on Sunday morning after church, he called me and he said, "Jules, I just want to come home." And I could hear something was different in his voice. Number one, he never wanted to be home with us. And so I prayed and I got in the car and we went up to get him. And on the way home, now remember, so how many, you know, oftentimes as Christians or new believers, we think we have to get to a place before we can deserve, you know, or receive the love and the mercy of God. My husband was a non-believer. He was a non-believer and he was an active addict. He was just leaving a drug binge for the weekend. And on the way home, he had an encounter with the Holy Spirit and was delivered from a lifetime of addiction instantly. Instantly. I'll never forget it. It's one of the biggest blessings in my life to be able to witness that miracle. And so if you have doubt whether or not God is still doing miracles today, brothers and sisters, he is. We are a walking miracle. My family is a walking miracle. My husband, my marriage, my children. And we're driving down the road on 81. It is pouring down rain, thunder, lightning. And all of a sudden, Dwayne looks at me and he says, "Jules, I'm an addict," and the tears, and he's shaking, and I'm looking, and the car is just driving itself, and I could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. And when Dwayne shares his story, and I'm so excited, I just have to share it, sorry, hon, but when he shares it, the most beautiful thing is that he'll talk about how in that moment he felt the hand of God reach into the pit of his gut and pull out all the junk. He could feel it, the shame, the embarrassment, the addiction itself. He could feel it leave his body. He went home that night. It's okay. Sorry. Throughout all of his drugs, he had been an addict since the time he was 9 years old. His first rehab for coke and meth, 14. Threw away all of his drugs, his alcohol, even his cigarettes. And praise God, that was almost 11 years ago. August this year, it'll be 11 years. Amen. Thank you. And we give God the glory for that because when he, and I'm going to tell a little bit about what's happening through 180 and share just a few stories of encouragement because that's what this morning is about. It is about giving God the praise. Look, we can look all around us, friends, and we can see all the junk, but God is doing stuff in the midst of all that junk. He is doing stuff. When we can't see it, trust me, he is doing stuff. And so he woke up the next morning, a new person. There has never been a relapse. There were no withdrawals. If you know anything about addiction, there are at a physical, which nothing, it was like he was never an addict. The power of the blood of Jesus. The power of the blood of Jesus freed my husband. And it was the prayers of the people. 2 years. So if you find yourself in the middle of a battle where you feel like, is it even worth it? Brothers and sisters, it is. You keep praying. You keep fighting. If anyone would have told us years ago that we would have a ministry, 180 Ministries located right in Mechanicsburg, where we're seeing the same kind of things, where we're laying hands on people and they're being delivered from years of oppression, depression, addiction. If anybody would have spoken that to us, we'd have said, not us. There's no way. How could God use anyone like us with everything that we've done? My husband's story reminds us of Saul. And friends, if he can use us, he can use anybody. He wants your yes. He wants your surrendered heart. And he can make beautiful things out of the dust. It's one of my favorite songs. One of my favorite. And so I want to share two stories about 180 Ministries. If you don't know about us, it actually started out of trash bags in the back of my car. So I have a real heart for folks in prison. My mom was in and out of prison. I lived in a small town. Everybody knew our business. And so I was very shamed because my mother was in prison. I didn't feel I had a safe space where it was okay to love her, if I'm honest. Anytime I'd say anything good about my mom, it was rebutted. Well, she's this, 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 and this. And so I began to feel shame for loving my mom. And when I heard about a prison ministry and what it was, and they were writing to women in prison, I finally found a place where my love was okay. It was okay to still love people who made mistakes. And some of them were really bad mistakes. And so I began to write to these women, and guess what? They don't stay in prison forever. And so they get out of prison. I'm like, what do I do now, Lord? They were coming back to Harrisburg. These women were coming back to halfway houses in Harrisburg. And so now all of a sudden, it's a whole different level of investing in somebody's life. These people get out of prison and they have nothing. They literally sometimes get dropped off at the bus station with nothing in the middle of the winter, a t-shirt, no coat, no anything. I'm like, God, I have to do something. We have to do something. And so what we started to do was collect clothing out of in trash bags. We would drive around. I wasn't working, so we had to be very, very resourceful with the funds we had. And so we would drive around one day, we'd map it out, we'd figure out who had what, and we'd pick everything up, and then the next day we would go and drop it off to these women in different rehabs, recovery houses, and things like that. Fast forward about 6 months, we did that. We came home to the house one day, and we went to walk into the back porch. We had a covered porch, and the entire porch was filled with donations, to the point we couldn't even get in the back door. I'm like, loving it. I'm like, whoa, this is great. And Dwayne's like, this is ridiculous. I can't get into the door. And I'm like, it's wonderful, right? So I got into the living room and I sat down. I said, I see you, Lord. And the answer is yes, but I need more space. Within 2 weeks, we had a room at Grantham Church and we were able to use that as our distribution space. We now have our own building where we're able to serve. So one of the things we do is a big giveaway, and we serve, make things available to the community that you typically cannot get with your food stamp card, and you can't get at a food bank. They're not really the items. So if you think hygiene products, cleaning supplies, laundry supplies, sometimes simple things like candles and bath bombs for people to know, like just a special treat, right? And then we have churches that are coming together to make meals. And so we have a hot meal available where folks can come in and you can take it to go, or we have a center table, we call it our fellowship table, because church happens around the table, right? The table is a really intimate space. And so we have that space open where people can come in and enjoy a meal together. And what's beautiful is how the body of Christ from the separate church buildings in our community are now coming together as one body. We had 6 different congregations represented this last Friday. Different congregations, different denominations. That's what heaven's going to look like, friends. And to watch people who maybe aren't on the same page politically serve together the way God has intended us to, it brings me to my knees. How in the world are we going to draw the people that do not know Jesus to him if we can't even be kind to one another? How are we going to talk about the love of Jesus when we can't even display it to each other because we don't agree on certain things? And so creating a space where we're able to do that has been such a blessing to us. We have a little guy that comes in. This is one of the stories. We do have transitional living as well. Since March of last year, we have successfully transitioned, I think it's been 8 women now, through our transition space where they were in vulnerable living situations. We were able to bring them in, love on them for a period of time that they needed, and help them prepare to move on to a permanent housing. And we are still discipling them. And it's beautiful. One of our women is here with us today. She has, it's Miss Emily. She's been with us for about 6 months, and she has just within the last week moved and transitioned into her own space. She has reconnected with Jesus. She is getting to know him, to really know him and understand his love. And those are the things that are happening at 180 Ministries. We have a little guy that comes in, little Jeffrey. He's about 18 months. His mother, I walked with her for about 4 years, 3 years. A year and a half of that, we were continuing to invite her to church. That was a part of what we were doing. And she'd always say she would come, but then she wouldn't show. And one morning she messaged me and she said, "Miss Julia, I'm coming to church this morning." And I said, "Great." So I saved her a seat, not knowing if she'd really show. Worship had just started and I get a text message. She said, "I'm in the parking lot." So I meet her at the door. We come in, we sit down, we worship. We're in the middle of prayer and worship, and all of a sudden I see her in the pew kneeling over, and she's rocking back and forth saying the name of Jesus. She encountered Jesus in that pew that day, and she gave her life to him. She told us later that day in our fellowship meal that she wrote her suicide letter that morning, and that she told Jesus if she walked into that church and she didn't feel anything, she was done. She had written a letter for her daughter to explain to her daughter that her suicide had nothing to do with her, that she loved her, but she couldn't do this anymore. Since then, we have continued to walk with their family. Little Jeffrey is about 18 months old. He comes into the building all the time. When Erna found out she was pregnant with Jeffrey, she called me because everybody around her was telling her that she should not have him. Every person in her life told her it was best not to have him. And I sat with her, not in judgment, and I reminded her that whatever she chose, Jesus would love her, but that she could trust him. She could trust him with her yes. And she canceled her abortion appointment. And we sat together. And she cried and cried because she was so terrified of what was to come because of the state that they were living in. And today you can come into our building and find little Jeffrey serving the community, being a, he has probably 10 grandmas that love on him. Erna has and Jeff, their family, have a community that have come around them to love and support them. And I thank God, again, for the struggle. I had an abortion when I was 18 years old. And I had the abortion at 18 because I didn't have somebody that I could sit with and feel that I could really, truly share my fears. I didn't want to have the abortion. Felt like I didn't have a choice. And so to sit there with Erna and be able to share my heart, my experience, what God had done in my life, and help her make a choice that now today she can see it full circle. And so I also want to share just real quickly too what the ministry and understanding the power of the blood of Jesus has done in my own family. We have an 18-year-old daughter who for the first 8 years of her life didn't have a relationship with her father. There was a lot of pain. She carried a lot of stuff with her for a long time. And when she was in about sixth grade, she began to cut. Self-harm. And for 3 years, we battled. And someone said to me one time, do you have to use words like spiritual warfare? Because those are kind of harsh words. When you're praying for your daughter to stop cutting at 3 o'clock in the morning, that's warfare. That's not rainbows and unicorns. That's getting on your knees at 3 o'clock in the morning and fighting for a young girl that didn't know how to fight for herself. It's been 2 years since our daughter has cut. And we give God all the glory for that. And through the ministry that God has called us to now, we are able to join with other families, with other parents, with other wives and husbands who are in the middle of a spiritual battle. And we are able to be there at 3 o'clock in the morning on our knees praying with them. This ministry has changed my life. The struggle encountered with Jesus has changed my life. And I thank God for all of it, every bit of it.
Thank you. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, she said everything, you know, especially about my journey. Every time I talk about it or somebody else talks about it, I get emotional about it because, I mean, I tell you, it was a miracle. It was my miracle, and nobody can take that away from me. To really understand where I came from, as I'm growing up in my addiction, you know, I'm 13, I'm 14, 15 years old. I had to find a way to support my habit. And what I ended up doing was me and my cousin, we would go around and we'd be debt collectors for the other drug dealers in our home. So what that had made me do things that, you know, not a normal person would do. There was violence and there was a lot of ugliness involved of what I had to do. And also all that, I had to, how can I say this, get rid of my emotions. I couldn't show love, I couldn't show compassion, I couldn't show empathy, I couldn't show none of that. My addiction took all that away from me. The only thing I wanted to do was feed my high. That was it, nothing else mattered. Didn't care how I got it or what I had to do to get it. So that's why it's so powerful for me when we're coming down 81, and I said those three words. And when I said those three words to Jules, that I'm an addict, it's like a combination to a lock that was holding me back. And when I says when God opened up and released me and broke those chains for me, and all those feelings and emotions just rushed out of my body at that evening, and I woke up that next morning and being refreshed, renewed, you know, it was just an amazing feeling. And the only explanation I had for that was God. That was it. I've tried to get off drugs by myself. I've been in rehabs and saw counselors and whatever. And it came down to it that I didn't want to stop. But God had other plans. He says, no, I'm not only going to make you stop, I'm going to take all that away from you. And I'm going to make you a clear canvas. And now I got something to use. Now I peeled all those layers away from you. Now I can put those layers back on. Now I can put those layers on that I want you to be. I want you to be the man that I want you to be. I want you to be the son that you were meant to be, the father, the brother, and all that. I remember, I think it was a week later, I'm going into the church. I'm walking up to the church. And I looked at my wife, and I said, Jules, I can't go in there. And I'm shaking, and I'm sweating, and I'm just terrified to walk in those doors. And she says, why? I said, because that's for good people, not people like me. I was bad. I was terrible. But I walked in that door, and this is our God. This is just how good he is. Everybody's in a Sunday school. And when I walked in, and this little old lady's come walking down the aisle, she's about yay high. Her name's Miss Avis. She was one of the women that were praying for me for the 2 years. Never met her, never knew who I was, and just walks up to me and grabs me and says, I've been praying for you for 2 years, and I love you. And then she hugged me. And she said, God loves you. And when she said that, man, I tell you, I felt the love of God like never before. Like I never felt something like that. And I didn't want to leave. I didn't want her to leave me. Because the feeling felt so good. And at that moment, I was like, man, I want more of this. I was passionate. I want more of this and stuff like that. But I remember one time when we went into Sunday school. I'm going to say this real quick. I'm in there in Sunday school. You know, I'm a new believer, and people are talking, and words are going over my head, and I'm not going on. But then two people start arguing. I don't want I had when Miss Avis hugged me. That's what I want. I don't want this. But see, God showed me over the years that that's not how it is. That's not what it's about. He has showed me so many things. Pure love, true mercy, true grace over the time that my encounter happened. I'll tell you a quick story. It had to be almost 20 years ago. 20 years ago, I'm playing football. And I tackled this kid pretty hard out of bounds, and we ended up getting to a fight. You know, it's a pretty bad fight, you know. And haven't seen him, broke him up. I run a men's group through 180 on Saturday, and I'm sitting at my men's group, and all of a sudden, this guy from 20 years ago comes walking into my men's group. And he says, hey, how you doing? I said, hey, how you doing? He says, you know, I'm gonna turn my life around. And I heard how you turned your life around, and I want some of that. And the reason why I said that is it's funny how God just takes enemies and brings them together, and now we're brothers fighting for the same cause and going out there finding them same guys like we were to bring them back to Jesus and to walk with them. You know, that's the beauty of our God, you know, and only he can do something like that, you know. And I love this guy. I mean, his name's Lewis. I love him to death. And I tell you what, the enemy is going to come after us too, because I told him yesterday, because we're at our men's group yesterday. It was just us two. So I know it was just for us to be there that day, because usually I have more guys and we watch a video. But it was just us two. So we got really a chance to really talk. And you know, our stories are similar. He was an alcoholic, a drug addict. And he just had enough, and God just wants him to be a better man just like me, and putting us two together is going to be something powerful. That yesterday, I just felt something so powerful as we're talking, and I told him, says, Lewis, we're going to change something. The enemy's going to come after us, but you know, as long as we're together, he ain't going to break this bond. As long as we got God with us, nothing can, what is it, no weapon formed. Amen. Amen. That's what I'm saying. And you know what? I'm not afraid to put that armor of God on, you know, because he's making me a warrior. I tell people, you know what? I was a slave to Satan. And when I mean I was a slave to Satan, he left me sitting in those jail cells, crying, cold, wondering, how am I going to get out? Somebody help me. And nobody's there to help me. Nobody's there to help me. But I know a God. God has me directed, going straight. And if I stumble, he's going to pick me up and says, I got you. Come on. It's not over yet. This journey is not over yet. And you know what? Dwayne, it's going to get hard. It's going to get tough. So what are you willing to do? And you know, whatever it takes, because my Jesus put that crown of thorns on. My Jesus walked with that cross. My Jesus took every strike of that hammer to those nails for me. And I was a non-believer. And he did that for me. So what? I'm going to be a little uncomfortable. So what? The road's going to be a little bumpy. So what? I'm going to endure because I have God leading the way. You know, I have him leading the way. I'm just thankful for all that he's done for me. I'm thankful for my wife. He knew what he was doing when he paired me up with her. He knew it. You know, in the beginning, her and I shouldn't be here. We shouldn't be together on paper. It shouldn't be good. It was so much turmoil and animosity and just ugliness in our relationship. But he knew he had to keep us together, and gave me a beautiful daughter, two beautiful daughters back there, which I love them to death. You know, God has blessed me with so much because I think I've just been obedient and faithful. And that's what I think it takes sometimes, just to be obedient and faithful, you know, and not ask questions why. I used to ask those questions, why me? There's so many other people out there better than me that have done better things or greater than me, but why me? I quit asking that question. You know, it doesn't matter. Just tell me where you need me to be, and I'll go. And that's all I need to do. I just want to thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, both of you, for sharing. Thank you for your ministry, for your testimony, and thank you, God, for what you're doing in the world. I'm just overwhelmed by that testimony. And I have hope that he might be calling us to do that work, too, here in Newville, and really reaching people here in Newville. And he's working. Bishop, you're here. Would you like to give the benediction?
What an amazing story. Wow. You know, God wanted me to be here to hear this. I'm telling you, he wanted me to be in this place to hear this story today. Because this is real things. Jesus is alive. If you don't want to believe it, I'm telling you, Jesus is alive. That's the Jesus I'm serving. Who does impossible things that the human being cannot. That's why sometimes I don't want to be, you know, pleasing to people. I want to be pleasing to Jesus. He's alive. Blessing to you, brother. I want to talk to you. But if you don't mind, I want to pray with you. Do you mind coming, Julia and you? Please. And your family, please. I want to tell you, in a church where, before becoming bishop, we have a situation. We're praying for a young girl, daughter to one of the pastors, struggling with addiction and depression. And I'm hearing this story. Don't be surprised if you see me knocking on your door with her. You've been there. You will know what to say to her. You say so many things here, but I saw the power of the prayer. You see, if I was in your place, I might be quitting. As all Christians here in the church, we quit. We let it go. You did not quit. You believe until the end. When even you didn't see a light, but you stood up. I have another son in a church. Her mother is a true believer. That kid has been in jail, out of the jail, hospital, addicted, depression. We've been praying. Even the mother feel like the church cannot do anything. Until today, we've been praying. That kid is not out yet. But your story gave me courage this morning that he will be out. Yes. Listening to you, I know he'll be out. You know, not asking to be stopped because that's what we're praying, stop. But God is not in stopping. God is in changing. life around. So you has been a blessing this morning, not only to Delos Mennonite, but to the body of Christ. Because when I'm going to preach somewhere, I'll tell them Jesus is alive. Amen. I'll tell them Jesus is alive. Father, in the name of Jesus, as I'm standing up with this family, I never met before, but what you have done this morning is more than what a man cannot understand. Father, sometimes we're coming and hiding before scripture that we don't even understand. But this morning, you taught us about what you are able to do. For the people that doesn't have a hope, you can bring hope and life. What an amazing Jesus we have. Lord, as this family is standing and serving you, Lord, let that heaven be open on them. I pray for a special blessing in this family as they're going to minister to many, many people. Church is not about building. Church is about the life of those who doesn't have any hope anymore. Lord, they need you because the fight is going to be very, very hard. As they're standing to serve you, as we all coming to stand and serve you. Father, let them take this testimony to nation. Let them take all around the world this testimony of what you are able to do. There is people out there that we in the church, we cannot even go close to them. But they can. This couple can. They can talk. They can give. They can say. And they can bring those souls to you. Holy Spirit, thank you. I pray for a special anointing in this family. I pray for the door to be open in every. Father, I pray this morning. So many years that working with them. I came to declare this morning that the door of and we all gonna stand and testifying the name of Jesus because of what you have done. Because we heard this morning more than the same thing, Father, that we're hearing every day. This morning, I hear life. This morning, I hear hope. This morning, I encourage in the walk with you, Jesus. Bless them and use them as they continue to serve you. And bless the children. And use them. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare and I pronounce that no weapon against you will succeed in your life. That the devil can stand, the Satan himself can stand and come in your way, but Jesus has conquered him, and you everything you touch will prosper. Every word you speak will transform. Everyone who's going to come in your way will see the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Holy Spirit be with you and guide you in your journey. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. morning and for this time that we gather here in the Dealersville Mennonite. Father, thank you for the service that we had this morning. What a blessing time together with the Holy Spirit. And as we leave in this place, Lord, may you bless your children. And we're going to take, Father, this word with us and this testimony, and we'll go to share them to those who don't believe to you that you are Jesus and you are alive. May our week be a blessed week. And bless her. Thank you for Pastor Joe, who came back, Father, with the team that they went away to do some work. And you bring him sound, safe and sound. We praise you, Lord, and we praise you for everything that you are doing in this congregation and this community. Father, we know that we're not done yet with you, and that you're going to do more than enough. And Father, you, for the glory of your name, I pray for the special blessing in our work, in everything else we're going to do in our family, that those who are sick can receive healing, and those who doesn't have peace can receive joy in them and peace. In the name of Jesus, as we live in this place, walk with us, Holy Spirit, and be with us in everything that we're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. God bless you, and a wonderful week.